I mean, how could you not love them instantly? And they didn't even have probably their best, not probably their best offensive kids.
I was like, in the alternate universe, I said, Caleb Sean is watching this. Like, guys, we're fine.
They've done this before. They did this. I mean, they've done it to great teams before. So it's just like, I don't even know if that's really a big win for him.
He is a leader on defense. I mean, this kid has a motor, man. I mean, you can just tell he gets into the game and he starts to defend and everybody just kind of rallies behind him. He's just, he's their leader. Like, he's everything for them.
He's him.
If you don't love that win, you don't love Arizona small ball. I mean, I don't care what level you're on. That performance is one that's going to go in the record books. What is up, Arizona high school basketball fanatics? Welcome back to the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. Your other host, Reyes, is here with me as always. And man, there's so much to talk about this week. The official AZ Preps rankings came out. And surprise, surprise, we were way off on a lot of things. There was awesome matchups between Santan Charter and Highland Prep, Florence versus Coolidge. We got some awesome buzzer beaters, Gilbert versus Valley, Phoenix Christian versus PCD. We're also going to talk about the 1,000-point club. But it's going to be a great episode today. Big Ray, how you doing, big dog?
Man, I'm doing good, man. We were wrong. I was wrong. And my prediction, my bold predictions, I guess I should say, right, were very, very off. But hey, it is what it is, man.
You know what? I loved that you posted those Reyes' last-minute bold predictions, man. They were really good.
Did you like it?
I did, you know. I mean, you got some hate online, obviously, from some Valley Christian faithfuls for picking Gilbert Christian. Actually, I got a lot of messages from people. If you didn't know this, if you're not following us on social media, you should go check us out on social media. You can follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook. And Twitter, it's at SmallBallPodAZ. For Instagram, it's Arizona_SmallBall_podcast. But on Twitter, we posted, or Reyes posted, his hot takes, his bold predictions for the game against Valley Christian and Gilbert Christian. And we weren't even going to start with this, but we can talk about it because it is really funny. His bold predictions were a little bit outlandish. Number one, he said Luke Shaw is going to have 40 points. Mind blown emoji. Keon Togo will make will make 9 threes in the contest. Ray, what were you thinking with that, bro?
You know what, dude? I was just like, it's a big game, big stage. It's freaking Valley. It's the, you know, it's the battle of the Christians. I was just feeling very good about my it was like the craziest parlay. That parlay, like the odds on that would have been like a plus like 30,000.
I had a bunch of people write in and be like, of course Reyes is going crazy about Keon Togo again, his favorite player.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, dude, low key. 9 threes, bro. Hey, just the thing about it, like, it's kind of crazy.
That wouldn't be the record, right?
9 threes in the game? I don't think so.
That's not a record, yeah. The number three,
I think Jacob Weber, you know, shouts out to a former small ball kid. I think he had about, like, close to that or did hit that in a game.
Mm-hmm. He did get close. The third thing you put up there is Kamari Stanbury will have 7 steals. And then number four, the biggest one, is Gilbert Christian wins by 3 in overtime. Ooh.
Man, I took the plus 3 spread on that one, boys. The plus 3, because anyway, I had to lose less than 3.
Reyes, we can be honest, bro. You're being a good sport right now. Let's just tell the truth, bro.
What's the truth, man?
You know, for all of you small ball fanatics, that wasn't Reyes that posted that. That was me that posted that. I didn't even tell Reyes I was going to do that. I just tweeted it out the morning of the game, and I get back on Twitter, and all I see is it was retweeted by Reyes Herrera, and I was like, dude, what a freaking dog, man. You didn't even ask any questions. You just retweeted.
Dude, so for everybody listening, I didn't think Jeff was going to say this. I thought we were going to go with it. Yeah, I woke up, and I'm like chilling, and you know me, I'm always on Twitter. I'm constantly on Twitter, golly. And I'm like going through the feed, this and that, and I see a couple of likes on our, you know, on our small ball page. And I'm like, what the heck is this, dude? So I click, and then I see Reyes' bold predictions. And I'm like reading through it. I'm like, Luke Shaw, 40 points. Keon Togo, 9 threes. Gilbert by 3. And I'm like, when did I? I'm like, and I'm like soul searching. You're really in my thinking, head.
Like, dude, when did I say that? That's crazy.
I'm like, when did I say that? I know I say some outlandish stuff, dude, but like, hey, you know what? So I went back on my personal account, just retweeted like a little savage. Dude, I was like, I'm just gonna ride with it, dude.
That actually made my day. It was hilarious. So I couldn't, you know, I love throwing you under the bus, buddy, but I couldn't do it then because, you know.
I wish you would have left it.
It was just.
But I know. Like Reyes' bold predictions. So you know what? Maybe
from
I might just start.
From this point forward, it is going to be you.
It's going to be me. It really will be me. And I think what made it more believable for people to believe that it was me the last time that was you was the emojis.
Right. No, the emojis, but also picking Gilbert Christian to win, which we'll get into this game later on. We're not going to start with this, but I told some coaches my actual prediction, Reyes. I said it was going to be Valley Christian. I put plus 13.5, and mm-hmm. but with the last layup that Gilbert Christian hit, it was 14 points. I literally.
Oh, no
it.
Way.
Yeah, I was like, dang, this is sweet.
Wait, you had Gilbert, wait, you had Valley plus 13?
Plus 13.5. And then the last layup.
Technically, yeah.
Dang. The last layup that they made was, you know, and I know it's like I flipped that, but I just meant that they won by 13.5. So.
Yeah, and for people listening, you, what is it called? You degenerate gamblers, you know, me myself included. We understand when we say plus 13, it's supposed to be the opposite, right? You know, right. Plus 13.5 is Gilbert Christian has to lose less than that, true, as opposed yeah. to Valley being a minus 13. We're already too deep in the season. We're not changing. So if anybody's scratching their head, banging their head, and just kind of going crazy, step on a Lego, dude, because we don't care. Step it's on small ball overall, dude.
Okay, so we are going to get to that game. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. But we did want to start off this episode by looking at the rankings that came up. The official ASBP, the official AZ Prep rankings did come out. And, you know, we did this on Patreon where we tried to predict where everybody was going to fall. And you said this, what are the chances that we're right in our prediction? And I literally told you we're probably going to be way off because it's really hard to predict where everybody is going to fall and all these different things. Reyes, we were off on some things for sure. And the biggest thing to me that sticks out that we were way off on with the official AZ Preps rankings was Hopi. If you remember, we predicted that Hopi in the 2A was going to be number one. They were 11-0, and they were ranked like number 11. They were outside the top 10, which is crazy to me. We were way off with that. We were also off with Basis Flagstaff in the 1A. We predicted them being higher than they were in the actual AZ Preps rankings. And, you know, there's a couple others that were kind of off and that I thought were kind of interesting. But what stuck out to you about the official AZ Preps rankings that dropped earlier this week on Tuesday for the first time?
Probably seeing, if I'm not mistaken, Santan Charter number 2. I was a little mm-hmm. surprised about that, to be honest with you.
I know.
I wasn't like, holy
crap.
Would
be number 1.
I did too. You know, I really did. Like I said, they've been playing at a high level. We'll kind of get to them too later on in this episode. But, no, yeah, they've been playing pretty tough as of late.
Yeah, and that another one surprised me. Hopi surprised me. What else you got?
If I'm not mistaken, in the 3A, you know, shouts out to the Roadrunners, dude. They've been hanging strong at number 2.
Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I was really – and I got nothing but love for Coach Delmar and the Roadrunners. Not as much as you do, Reyes. But I was really surprised to see them at a 2. I didn't
too.
Think that was going to happen. I thought there would be
– I agree. Hashtag I agree, man.
Them, so – yeah, it's kind of interesting. Paige being up there with 7, we predicted them being in the top 10. A big one that you talked about was Snowflake being in the top 10.
Told you, man. Every time it's like you with Pima, but now you're riding with Pima. I need you to do the same thing with Snowflake. I'm not saying they're title contenders at all, but right. What I'm saying is, dude, for whatever reason, dude, whatever's in that Lobo's blood or whatever the heck it is in the water in Snowflake, dude, they just figure out a way to hit the top 10.
I know they do, and they have been playing well as of late. And then all the others that we had on there, I think the biggest thing that we did talk about is we talked about a potential Gilbert Christian being left out of the top 10. Remember that when we were looking at things? Mm-hmm. And then it was a potential Fountain Hills being out of the top 10. So, you know, those things didn't end up happening, but Coolidge right now sitting outside the top 10. Let's just kind of look at this, actually. So go to the 3A. And let's just kind of look at these, right? So obviously we got Valley Christian at number 1, staying strong and proving why they are number 1. Reyes, should we do a percentage check for you now, the percentage that they're going to get upset in the playoffs?
I mean, if you want to, man, it's getting lower and lower every time. Golly,
it should be. Realistically, it should be.
Look at their last like couple scores: 79-57, 88-58, 90-50, 73-36, 82-68.
Yeah.
Golly, man,
it's crazy.
It's pretty bananas, dude. I think my last percentage I said was like 25, right, or 20.
It's dropping. It is dropping. I think
it's dropping, dude. I'm in the 20s now, so I'm gonna go ahead and say a solid, cool 15%.
Dang, okay. But you still think so. I got you. Okay, 15%.
15%, dude.
So we got Valley Christian at 1. We got Holbrook at 2. Yuma Catholic at 3. Gilbert Christian at 4. Alia Ironwood at 5. Northwest at 6. Page at 7. Snowflake at 8. Fountain Hills at 9. And then number 10 is Chin Lee right there. So pretty interesting for that top 10. Some teams that are just right outside the top 10 is Sholo, Parker, Coolidge, Winslow, Safford. Palo at 16 is
which is kind of
outlandish.
It's kind of crazy, honestly. It really is. Yeah, like you said, Sholo at 11, 12 Parker, 13 Coolidge, 14 Winslow, 15 Safford, 16 Palo Verde right now. Look,
click on Palo Verde right now. Click on Palo Verde. And here's the issue with these teams from the South. Right?
Shouts out Coach Smith and all the smoke tour.
We love it, right? But if you look, and it's hard for me to see because the screen's a little bit further away, but a lot of their wins are against those mid-major 4A, 5A schools, right? Douglas, Rio Rico. Keep going down. Douglas, you got Rio Rico. You got Walden Grove, who I think is actually pretty good. You got They're Florence, not. Which that's a huge win. You got Pueblo. They lost to Sunnyside. And then you keep going. But those are all those bigger schools there. And this is reminding me of Push years ago when they had a really good record and they like were literally going into the playoffs at the very bottom because of the types of power points that they were getting from their opponents and from their strength of schedule. So that's what happened there, because if you don't know this, AZ Prep's rankings, I mean, people have written us messages this week being like, so-and-so's getting snubbed by AZ Preps. It's crazy. Like, they need to pay attention. It's like, well, it's an algorithm. It's not like people picking rankings, you know. It all kind of weights together in a percentage-wise. But, yeah, so it's kind of crazy to think about them falling where they're at. So let's go to the 2A next. Unless you got something else you want to say about the 3A.
No, not in the 3A. I think the only thing that I was really going to say is, like I said, Payson at 20, and you know, Santan, Foothills, Benjamin. How about Kingman, dude? Kingman freaking high school. We gave him love last episode. They're in the freaking top 24, dude. So shouts out to them. And then Tank Verde, which is kind of crazy to me. They're out of the top 25. Yeah. They're 7-3. They have the best record out of some of these teams, but obviously don't strength the schedule. So just kind of want to highlight that.
Can you go all the way down to the bottom? Like, who was ranked as the last team? I just want to see that.
This is respectfully, by the way. So shouts out to the Vipers, dude.
There's nothing there. It's just, you know what? Like San Miguel, what it is. Nothing but love for you, man. Like, it's tough when the rankings come out and that's the case. So hang in there. Hang tough. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, maybe not keep doing what you're doing, but, you know, like, keep hanging with the kids and everything. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel for that, because we've been in that situation where we're very close to that, and it's like, oh, my gosh, dude. So hang tough. That's it. One coach to another, hang tough. Okay, let's go to the 2A.
In the 2A. Here, I'll zoom
in. So for 2A, AZ Prep's rankings, you know, this is one that we were the most shocked. But for number one, you got ALA. Number two, you got Santan Charter. Number three, you got Rancho. Leading Edge at 4, Morenci at 5, and Pima at 6. Horizon Honors at 7. Phoenix Christian at 8. Heritage Academy at 9, shout outs to the Heroes, and Highland Prep at 10. Now, obviously, some of these rankings in the 3A and the 2A will shift a little bit because there were games on Saturday and Friday and all that. So that'll update on Tuesday, if I remember right. But
correct.
But yeah, that's the top 10 right there. And what sticks out to you about that top 10? I mean, we already kind of talked about Santan Charter being number 2, but how about Horizon and, you know, McEnany being up there at number 7?
As I was saying, Horizon Honors cracking the top 10, man. That's super awesome to see. Freaking Pima, dude. I know you didn't want to put him in there just because, like I said, you know, Coach Thompson wouldn't want you to do that, but they're in there. Morenti's in there. I think if you haven't really been paying attention, you just kind of see Morenti stack up some wins. Obviously, their only loss is to Pima. They're playing tough, dude. I really like what they got going. And then Leading Edge at 4, man. I was pretty surprised about that one, to be honest with you. Yeah. But they've been playing at a very high level as of late.
They have been. Can you click on them? What are their most recent wins, like, of note?
So their most recent wins after. So I think we actually talked about this, right? Because we did mention that was a matchup of the game against Santan Charter. They were able to bounce back 3-0. They beat San Carlos 78-40. NFL Yet 67-33, and then they beat Arete Prep 80-66.
Yeah, so, and if you click
or
on
actually
Arete,
my bad. Shouts out Great Hearts, right?
Arete Prep. If you click on them, that's actually a pretty big win because Arete Prep has actually been playing pretty well. I think if I remember right, they had just beaten Veritas, who I've been hearing a lot of noise about Veritas all throughout the year. And so, I mean, that win ends up being, you know, pretty good. Did they end up beating Veritas or did they lose to Veritas?
So they beat Veritas 52-48.
Yeah, I mean, they're not playing bad right now, Arete Prep, and we'll talk about them again when we get to 1,000 Point Club. But really cool stuff with that.
No, absolutely, man. Shout out to the Veritas, right? They're number 11. Mm-hmm. Doctor got some playing at a very high level. So shouts out to the Falcons over at
Doctor?
Veritas Prep. Doctor.
That's his name?
Doctor.
Oh, his name is Doctor. Brooks Doctor. That's a pretty cool name. Okay, so go back. Here are some teams just right outside the top 10 for the 2A right now as we're listening to this because it's coming out Monday. Right, we got Mojave Accelerated, Bisbee, Hopi at 14 because they did lose one to Tuba City, which that's a pretty big loss for them.
Shouts out to the Warriors, bro, getting it done, dude.
Well, but Tuba City hasn't been playing at a super high level this year, so that's a really bad loss for Hopi.
It's a tough hit, dude. Like I said, dude, the claw was not working that night.
I know. And then you got Round Valley, Arete Prep, and Glendale Prep all the way at 18. You know, they've done some good things as of late, but they're going to need to try to put together some good wins moving forward in order to increase their ranking so that way they can hopefully get a good seed going into the playoffs. The road does not get easier for them as they finish off this season, right?
No, it does not.
Who we'll talk about a lot in the later on the episode, but Highland Prep, and then you've got Rancho, and then you've got Phoenix Christian, and then you end with Highland Prep on the road. So, I mean, Glendale Prep's going to have some opportunities to boost their points, but they're going to need to be ready to go, which, you know, Coach Roundy's going to have them ready to go.
Yeah, man, and like you said, Benson at 19, Kingman Academy at 20. San Carlos, man, kind of bouncing back a little bit, you know, staying in that top 24, which is huge for them. Kind of looking at their record real quick, just kind of wanted to see what's going on. Big win over Fort Thomas.
That's a big win for them. Fort Thomas has been playing tough lately.
They've been playing very tough in the 1A.
Okay, let's go to the last ranked school in the 2A and just show them some love, dude.
Gosh, man. So, despite being 1-9, Gray Hills Academy still is the last team in the 2A, while Sequoia Pathway and Trivium Prep are above them, which with zero wins, how does that – I wonder how that works, honestly.
I think it all has to just do with strength of schedule and like who Trivium has probably lost to some teams that have more power points than, you know, whatever. It actually reminds me of years ago, you know, Obi-Town, shouts out to him. We should get shirts of Obi-Town because like we mention him pretty often actually. But it's really funny.
We do.
It was funny, like there was one year he was talking about how jacked up the rankings were because he was from the South and he was experiencing a lot of the same issues that we were talking about earlier with the rankings because of 4A, 5A schools. And he sent me a screenshot of Arizona College Prep at the time, who was in the 3A, and they were like, I don't think they had won a game, and they were ranked above him. And he was like, you tell me how this makes sense. And it was freaking hilarious because it was like, bro, it doesn't. But they probably just have played against people that are better than you guys, than better than the teams that you've played against, you know, at least power points ranking. But it was just hilarious. Like, you tell me how this makes sense. This is crap. Okay, let's go to the 1A. Moving to the 1A, when we look at these, 1A actually wasn't bad at all, if I remember right. There's only a couple of
discrepancies. No, I think 1A, we were pretty good on it, I think.
Yeah, 1A was decently close. Babo being at 8 is kind of crazy. But number 1 is the Gregory School. Number 2, North Valley. Number 3, Desert Christian. Number 4, Fort Thomas, who has been playing very tough lately. Number 5, Hayden. Number 6, Anthem Prep. So Anthem Prep gets the love that they really do deserve. LCAP is at 7, which I think is very appropriate. Babo is at 8. And then moving forward into the 9 and 10 ranking, You have Babo, or you have
Joseph City
at 9, and Basis Flagstaff cracks the top 10, but they did not open in the top 10. But I think that's also very well deserved.
Yeah, man. So what sticks out to you on this one?
I think the biggest thing that sticks out to me on this is Babo at 8 is kind of crazy, because I really don't think El Cap, Anthem, Hayden, or Fort Thomas are better than them. I just don't. Joseph City in the top 10 makes sense. Basis Flagstaff being in the top 10 makes sense. Can you scroll down a little bit? Looking at teams that are just outside the top 10 that could be in there, that probably should be in there. So number 11, you have got Mogollon. You got Antelope at 12. Williams at 13. Williams could be a top team. Ray being at 14 is kind of interesting. Cicero Prep at 15. And then I know you see my shirt right here, but Siloam being at 16. I think that's about my craziest thing. I think Siloam should be number one, honestly. Like that's where I'm at with that.
I can respect that decision. Man, I actually got – so we've seen Mogollon play in person, me and you, at the Round Valley Shootout. I've seen him on film.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually, you know, shouts out to Maryville Prep, right? That's the school I teach at. I was actually able to watch Antelope Union come into the Matadors. I don't even know what you would call
arena.
It.
Arena. The arena.
Arena. And, you know, it was an interesting game, to say the least, man. But, man, they got some players. They got some pretty good guards. They got a big who could put it on the floor, dude. Antelope Union low-key could be a dark horse for me moving forward.
Okay, I like that. That's good.
I'm just saying. And then, you know, shouts out to Mogollon. I don't know if we're going to give them any – I don't know if we're going to talk about the game, but they did have a recent matchup with North Valley, and it was a lot closer than I'm sure a lot of us would have thought.
What's the score spread on that? I didn't see that.
54-66.
Okay, nice. That's really good for Mogollon. Yeah,
and this was at North Valley.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's really good.
Yeah. That's so, anyways,
quick let's go back to the 1A. Let's see who's the last school here in the 1A.
So, despite some of these teams that do not have enough games to be considered in the rankings, it is our beloved ASDB,
nothing the Sentinels. But love. Yeah, nothing but love for ASDB. You know, hang tough, hang in there. And we know it's when you have a disappointing season, it's not easy. But we're just showing you some love right now, coaches. You know,
showing you some love, dude. Shouts out to your Phantoms too, Lou.
I know the Phantoms, bro. It's crazy. Okay, so we just wanted to kind of start by talking about where the rankings are falling. There's been a lot of people that have been writing us in talking about the rankings and like what goes into it. You know, what did we think about these people and where they were at? If we think they're a legitimate team or not, we're not going to get into all of that. We will at some point. But we just want to take a second and talk about that. We want to get into breaking down some games because, man, there were some awesome games that went on this past week. I mean, there's really too much to even follow and sit down and really delve deep into, but we'll do our best to help you guys out. Before we get into these games, what I do want to say is give a huge shout out to our partners over at Cloud9 Sports. They are a sports apparel company that we think are just awesome. We think the world of them. We've used them for all of our events, and we have been so pleased with their products. Not only are they cheap, but they also are like price wise, but they're also the turnaround time is awesome. The quality of the products is amazing, and they're just great to work with. They're a bunch of cool dudes. They're small ball coaches, and they care about the small ball scene just as much as we do. So if you want to get hooked up with some great uniforms or shooting shirts or whatever it is that you need sports apparel wise, head on over to cloud9sports.com and use the promo code all caps small ball army. Let them know that you're coming from us. You'll get 10% off your purchase, and I promise you won't be disappointed. Or you can just email our guy directly at cloud9roger@hotmail.com, and he'll take really good care of you. Okay, let's move on into some of these awesome matchups because there were some really, really great ones. Okay, I think that we would regret it if we didn't start with Santan Charter versus Highland. You know, I did a live post-game show on this on Patreon.
You did.
So full disclosure, if you haven't checked out our Patreon, you need to check it out because we've already talked about this. If you want more about it, you can go over there and you can listen to more about it. But let's break this thing down. Santan Charter gets their revenge over Highland Prep. They win 91-48, and Reyes, maybe one of these days. What if one of our live post-game shows was not a blowout?
Is it a curse?
I think it's a curse.
For the games we choose, I don't even know how many we've done before.
Like the fifth one.
Fifth one, whatever. And every one has been a blowout.
Every single one. Like, it's actually crazy. It's probably to the point where people are like, please don't do a live stream about our game because it's going to be a blowout.
Until a coach says that, man, we're just going to keep doing it.
Just going to keep doing it, you know? So, I mean, I love doing the live post-game shows. It's fun. But in breaking this game down, I mean, Reyes, you saw this game. We've already gone into detail about it. What was, like, the biggest key to this game as far as how Santan Charter was able to dominate against Highland Prep here?
The relentless pressure, dude, by Santan Charter. Just out the gate, 15-0. buddy, number zero, I remember his name. Sorry, I forget your name, bud. Had two back-to-back threes pretty much. Pressing. I mean, Highland Prep just looked shell-shocked, right? They just didn't know what hit them.
It was a big environment, man.
It was a huge environment, and Santan fans going crazy. It was a different – I mean, Highland Prep is just a different look, right? And like I said, you know, we know some factors that weren't in the eBay, you know. Terrell Green's not there no more. So it's just a different team. And like I said, Santan did not care about anything. Obviously, right, no excuses, right? You got to come out and compete. Sure. And Santan did exactly what they needed to do for four quarters, dude. Relentless effort.
It really was. And, you know, I said this in the live post-game show, but I really mean this. You could tell that Santan Charter had been pissed off for like an entire year. The way they came out and defend, and here's the other thing too. It wasn't like Coach Crooms was pressing the entire game. You know what
no,
I mean?
He didn't. He did it in spurts and everything like that.
Yeah,
but
like
the half court defense
dogs off. You know, like it wasn't like that. But even when they were in the half court, I mean, they were just out to make a point and make a statement against them. And you know, right now, I just think Santan Charter is on a completely different level. To me, in the small ball, it's Valley Christian and it's Santan Charter. And in the two-way, you know, somebody commented
scary hours
on the Twitter, but they said, you know, Santan Charter has shown why they're one of the favorites to win it all in the two-way. And I just responded and said, they're going to win it all in the two-way. You would be stupid. Every single coach that I have talked to that has played against Santan Charter has said that team is just freaking different. Like every single coach. So if you're watching and you're a hater, like I'm looking at one right now, you're really just being a hater just to be a hater. And I'm calling
you out
because you are just going crazy with this stuff. It's outlandish. And I know I'm being harsh because you've turned over a new leaf.
I have.
But anybody who watches Santan Charter play and they're following the small ball in the 2A, I'm not saying that nobody can beat Santan Charter, but right now they're on a completely different level. It's not like they're just talented or athletic, because there's other talented athletic teams in the 2A. But Coach Crooms is also coaching them up great. They're running awesome stuff. They're not just disorganized on offense. They're not disorganized on defense. I mean, this is a team that is a legitimate squad. It's not just like go out there and go crazy.
I agree with you, man. Right now they're competing on a different wavelength. Very similar to Valley Christian. Now, I know they played in the summer, dude, but, you know, put on the, like, you know, what if Santan. What if Santan Charter and Valley Christian were to meet up today, Monday, January 15th? At Footprint
where?
Arena.
At the neutral site. Okay.
Are you about to get crazy?
No, I'm not going to get crazy. You know, I got nothing but love for all the small ball teams, bro. I would give advantage Santan Charter, though. I'm just saying. Valley Christian, and this is why. Valley Christian has
Hogs and DeBoer. If you are listening,
I know. Huh?
Send right. Legos. You got the Addy.
It's okay. They can send Lego. It. That's fine. They know I got nothing but love for them. But I just think the reason why I would say that right now, honestly, Valley Christian has great stuff. They have great weapons. They, you know, Hoggs and DeBoer do a great job with their stuff. So does Crooms and his coaching staff.
Absolutely.
The difference right now is I think Santa and Charter, the level of intensity that they are playing with, the revenge tour that they are on right now, it's just different. And I think they would come out and they would be like, I want to kill every single one of these kids. And it would just it would be a different level of intensity that, I mean, even like against like a Gilbert Christian, which we'll get into Valley Christian, Gilbert Christian, it would be a completely different intensity than even just that, right? So I would give advantage to Santa and Charter right now. And I can't believe I'm saying that. But, man, I would love to see Valley Christian and Santa and Charter match up, bro. That would be a live post-game show that would not be a blowout.
God, that'd be such a fun game to, like, just set up and just see what happens, right?
Hey, I said it on our last episode. I mean, I literally said it. Santa and Charter, Valley Christian, if they both sign up for one of our small ball events, we could make it happen, bro. I mean, we could.
We could. Could we? I mean, yeah, but it'd be different, right? Because they have seniors, right?
I know. I'm just saying, you know.
They could, I'd rather do like a week, like a week after the season. Just
a week. Got neutral. Let's just go play somewhere. Just do it somewhere.
Neutral site.
That'd be awesome.
Make it official as possible and just see when we pack the house.
My biggest issue would be, and then we can move on from this because we've got other games to talk about. My biggest issue would be Santa and Charter getting into foul trouble potentially, you know. But they're so deep anyways. But yeah, I think that's a big thing to think about. But I think I would give the advantage to that. I don't want to ask who you would pick because I think I know. We all know who you would pick.
Yeah, I think we do know.
Yeah, so, okay, we'll move on from that. Unless there's something else you want to say about Santan versus Highland. What do you think about Highland? Because you picked them to be, you know, that was your group.
After some recent discovery,
right,
man.
And I know things are a little bit different now, but where do you see them now going into, you know, I'll put this
region
on. Right?
It's a different look now, dude.
Where do you see them going into the playoffs, you know? Like,
I still think they hit the playoffs. I do.
For sure they will.
Now, I don't know if they're an Elite Eight team. And I think that's a stretch to say, especially with a lot of these teams, you know, just kind of not peaking.
There's a lot of, like, really good teams. And you're right,
that
though.
Are building.
I think a lot of them are kind of peaking and, you know.
Yeah, as opposed to, you know, Highland Shots. And like I said, shouts out to Coach Hill, man. He's an awesome coach and great guy overall. And so I feel for him. I really do. But yeah, dude, I think with the recent discoveries of what we have learned in the past 24 hours,
sure,
I think I'm going to change my, I think I'm going to make a different choice,
okay.
On
okay
who
to,
is going
to
win
things. Yeah. Well, and huge, nothing but love over to Presley eBay. You know, I know you've gotten to hook up with him and talk with him a little bit, you know,
great
previous,
kid.
Like,
I
stuff.
A great
kid,
young man.
You know, I know that you're really, you always speak really highly of him. Speedy recovery, dude. Nothing but love for you. And nothing but love for you, Coach Hill, too. What I'm excited about is Coach Hill, he's got no quit in him. So even though they're going through some adversity right now, like, he's going
to
have his kids responding and playing extremely hard. Like, I'm excited to see just kind of how he does that stuff. So really cool. Okay, let's move on to the biggest rivalry game that happened this week. Florence versus Coolidge. Florence gets the win.
In the Gopher Den, dude.
In the Gopher's Den, you know, reminiscing back to the showcase. Florence gets the win 51-48 over Coolidge. And this is an overtime game as well. I texted Coach Sill the day after the game or maybe a couple days after, and I said, man, how good did that feel? And he said, man, it felt so good. And when we talked to him, when we had him on the podcast, we talked about Florence and Coolidge. Remember, he said, if it's at home, he always likes his chances. If it's on the road, he doesn't like his chances. And I think Coolidge and Coach Glasgow will probably say about the same thing. But this is one of the best rivalries we have in small ball.
It is an awesome rivalry, man. Golly, in the, like I said, you shouted out, right? ASBP Senior Showcase was hosted there by the Gophers in the Gopher Den. It was an awesome atmosphere. I can only imagine what that Florence Coolidge game would be like, you know, in person.
Right.
Huge win. And like I said, I think we mentioned it, Florence right now in the rankings, they're hanging, dude. They're number 17 with a 5-2 record, dude, but they've been playing at a pretty high level. I think Coach Silva's is doing a really great job with them. They picked up two wins over, you know, Santana and Coolidge in January. They got a tough stretch, three-game stretch against Pushwood, Gilbert, Christian, and Coolidge. So two out of the three are at the floor, the Gophers' den, dude. And like I said, they go to the Bears' den, Bears' cave.
Well, I'm going to be honest, man. We've slept on Florence this year.
We haven't really talked about them a lot.
You said 5-2. They're sitting at 7-2 right now. They're number 17.
Yep.
Right? They're 7-2. They're sitting at number 17. They have a big win over Coolidge. They beat Santan Foothills. They took care of business there, and that's kind of a budding rivalry that they have against each other. Like that, and that was on the road as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have wins over – they already beat Santan Foothills. Think about the improvement here, right? They played Santan Foothills December 20th. They won 51-48. They play them again. They won 50-32. Right, so Coach Silvas has his team improving and doing a really good job here. Their next game is at home against Push. And this is actually going to be a huge matchup game because if you're paying attention to scores, Pushridge just beat ALA Ironwood 60-59 at home.
Yes, this is
going to say a lot about where Florence is at. And Coach Silvas, my favorite thing about the Gophers, and I think it just kind of comes from the personality of Coach Silvas, is they're just hard-nosed and they work hard, man. Like, they don't complain. They got great kids and great athletes. You know, he even said this last year talking about his group coming up, but he's got a bunch of kids that just love being in the gym. And it's kind of showing here right now as they're having some success, but they do have a tough stretch coming up as they're going to go at Coolidge January 23rd. January 18th, they play Gilbert Christian, but they got two home games against Push and Gilbert. But we kind of slept on them a little bit. We need to start talking about Coach Sill and the Gophers a little bit more.
Yeah. Golly, that was crazy. And you look at the box score, Coolidge did not, you know, update or anything like that. But for Florence, their leading scorer was their junior number four, Adrian Tafaso.
Okay.
Tafaso. I don't know
how many points did he have?
He had 15.
15?
Yeah, he had 15 points. Let's see. I'll give you his totals right now. So he had 15 points, six rebounds. And, yeah, that's pretty much about it, 15-6. But, like I said, and then a couple others in the double digits. You have Anthony Bradine, who had 10 points. Logan Stenson, who had 11. And then, you know, Devin Cundiff had 7. So, like I said, a pretty overall team contribution win for the Gophers against the Bears of Coolidge.
I would love nothing more than to see Coach Silvas and his group do really well, have a decent seed going into the playoffs and to win a playoff game. I think that would be so great. I would love that so much for them and their group.
I agree with you, man. I mean, like I said, I really have a lot of high respect and high regards for Silvas. He does a great job with his group.
Now, on the flip side with Coolidge, kind of interesting. They had actually just messaged on Twitter and said that we were sleeping on them. And then they drop one to Blue Ridge, and they drop one to Florence. You know, for Coolidge moving forward, their schedule is at Gilbert Christian, and they play Globe, and then it's Florence, and then Santan Foothills, and then they end with ALA Ironwood Valley Christian. You know, they have some tougher games there at the end. For Coolidge, they have some really good players on their squad. I think, you know, they maybe just took Florence a little bit lightly. I'd be really interested to see that game at their place again. You know, see how that would be different.
And so soon, right? It's just right
it's
back
quick,
at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's like another week or two, you know, and it's right there. Okay, so let's move on here to what do you want to do next? I'll let you pick. You want Phoenix Christian PCD? You want Gilbert versus Valley? Or you want Valley Lutheran and Cicero Prep?
Let's get over Phoenix Christian and PCD, man.
Okay, so Phoenix Christian gets a stunning revenge win over Phoenix Country Day. They win 81-63, and, you know, huge shouts out to Bryce Anderson and Malachi for combining for 61 points together. These two are not only great athletes, but they're amazing players, and they're peaking really well right here. Need I remind you, PCD had just beat Phoenix Christian by, I think it was 5 points or something, in the ALA Coyotes Invitational Championship. Phoenix Christian goes on the road into PCD, and they get this win. What do you think about Phoenix Christian right now? You know, like, because they're one of the teams that we got to talk about. Like, they are one that they have the potential to go on a really deep run again this year.
Yeah, PC is very interesting, right? Like I said, they are still a top 10 team, but they're just kind of hanging below as far as like, I mean, we're talking about them a lot, right? But I don't know if other people are, and they should be, right? Like I said, with Highland Prep, what's going on over there, you have Arizona Lutheran kind of at the top right now, but I think everybody knows that Santan Charter right now is probably the best team in the two-way, and you can make a case of potentially being one of the better teams in small ball right now.
Mm-hmm.
But Phoenix Christian, man, like I said, before that loss to Phoenix Country Day, man, they've been kind of racking up some wins. And I think what Coach Schreier has got them playing at a very high level right now at the right time is huge for them, especially as they head into their season. And today they do play Fountain Hills at mm-hmm. Phoenix Christian High School.
That'll be a big test for them as well. Now, I think if they've already beaten Fountain Hills 56-43. But we know this, and a lot of teams maybe don't know this, but playing a Coach Bonner-led team two times.
After seeing the first,
It's very difficult. It's difficult. So that game will say a lot about Phoenix Christian. Here's what I'm going to say right here. I'm going to give Coach Dryzek some much-deserved love. This is a guy who does one of the best jobs I've seen at building relationships with his athletes. And I think it really shows in how they play. It really shows in how, you know, they have progressed throughout the season with their own adversity that they've been going through. And I just want to give a huge shout out to Coach Dryzek for doing everything that he's doing behind the scenes that nobody really sees and nobody really knows about. So huge shout out to them. And I think that's really, really good in that sense. But they do play Fountain Hills tonight. And then they go in Highland Prep. They got Glendale Prep, and they keep moving forward with some easier games there. But that's a huge win for them, and it shows how they're progressing and they're getting better throughout the year. So what you said, Reyes, is I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. You have a lot of teams in a 2A that are kind of peaking at here towards the end of the season.
It's awesome, man. It's always good to see. Right, you don't want to peak in the beginning or the middle of the season, right? You really want to be peaking as you hit towards the playoffs, right? Because then everybody's kind of all cylinders are clicking, right? Everybody knows how to play with each other now. We just kind of know what our identity is, and I think that they're figuring that out now. I like Phoenix Christian. Like I said, it was a good win. Like I said, it was an away game too, and you know, playing at Phoenix Country Day is no slouch. That's a pretty tough environment to play in. A lot of dunks.
Hey, I like Phoenix Christian's black jerseys. Do you like them? I like them.
I do. Jerseys. I do like them.
Yeah, they're good.
I like the green colors too. I like green on some jerseys. Like shout out to the Frogs, right?
Let's go, baby. Yeah, I like green as an accent. I don't like it as the main color.
So you don't like Gilbert Christian's colors?
No, I do. But it's an accent color. They don't just show up in just green.
Their white jerseys are like what green number font with a yellow outline, and then their mm-hmm. away jerseys are
black.
With
the green accent. I like the green accent, but I don't like just like Phoenix Christian has some like green jerseys. I don't like just the green.
I'm just saying Gilbert Christian could do some Oregon Duck kind of colorway with their gold or yellow and green. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but who would want to do that? That's trashy. Okay. Speaking of Gilbert. Let's get to Gilbert versus Valley Christian. And Reyes, I'm gonna start with you on this, okay? Because Valley Christian gets the win 82-68. What do you think was the biggest key to this game as far as why Valley Christian, and I'll say it like this, why Gilbert Christian was not able to get over the hump? Because they cut it pretty close. They cut it to 9 with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Gilbert Christian was playing pretty well towards the end. What do you think is the key here for them? Because they're going to play him again.
Like, what does Gilbert Christian need to do?
Yeah, like, what's the key here? Like, how do you – they're kind of close, knocking on the door, but then they pull away.
I know, but, like, Cry Me a River, right? That's, like, every team against Valley Christian. Not every team, but, like, the
most teams
that – the teams that we have seen compete against Valley Christian, right? It's like you might score a layup, like a really nice like off a set, but then Valley goes down and hits like two threes. Mm-hmm. Just limiting, and it sounds crazy, but I don't know if you really can do it, and it sounds kind of generic, but I'm sorry to say, the only thing that pops in my mind right now is how do you limit Valley Christian's offense? Like what can Gilbert Christian do on the defensive side to kind of mitigate that and, you know, cause some turnovers or, you know what I mean, just get stops. I don't think offensively Gilbert Christian needs any adjustments. You know what I mean? But I think defensively, you just got to get a little bit more creative and just figure out a way to stop the, you know, Valley
Christian. Here's what I'm going to say, dude. I'm going to say this. I think the biggest thing that teams have to think about when they're playing against Valley Christian is their own shot selection. I think that's one of the biggest things.
Valley will make you take some very tough shots, and they might give you a couple shots, if you know what I mean, right?
Well,
it's almost like they...
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but what I'm saying is Gilbert Christian took a lot of shots that weren't even forced from Valley Christian. They settled a lot for different shots.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand that against a team like Valley Christian, if you take bad shots, like a couple bad shots in a row, Valley Christian gets a long rebound, they set it up, they shoot a three, they make one, right? Then you come back, you take another bad shot, they get into transition, boom, they hit a layup, they run a set, and then all of a sudden, that's like a 9-point swing, you know? So I really think that shot selection and time of possession is going to be huge playing against Valley Christian moving forward. Gilbert Christian did cut it to 9 with 5 minutes left in the fourth, and then Luke Shaw hit 6 points in a row, and that really kind of stretched it back out again. I really thought Gilbert Christian had a shot, and then those 6 points, those three buckets, just really kind of spaced things out. And, you know, Valley Christian's able to hold on to the win again, but, I mean, I don't know, man. This was... I don't know if anybody in the 3A can touch Valley. I think Valley Christian's biggest enemy is going to be themselves because of how much success that they're seeing. I could see them maybe getting complacent. Not the coaches, but human nature for the kids sets in, right? And nobody can touch you. Like, you're dominant, right? So how do you stay focused and stay the course of what you know you should be in the mentality you're supposed to have, right? I mean, Gilbert Christian kind of pushed back a little bit, but it wasn't enough. They didn't have enough.
No, and I agree with you on that. And it's kind of interesting, right? You look at the rankings, like we said, you know, Valley at 1. You have Gilbert 4, Alien Ironwood 5, Northwest 6, right? Gilbert Christian's beat those two teams.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And ALA's played Valley, you know what I mean? And we saw how that score was. Obviously, it's going to be different at ALA. But, man, it's kind of interesting because, like, for me, yeah, I thought Gilbert is, and I still believe that is their best shot, you know, best team to give Valley Christian a run for their money, you know. And, like I said, we don't see that matchup again till, oh, yeah, we do. February 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
February 2nd, yeah, at Valley, though.
Am I crazy in saying that maybe the best team to challenge Valley is a team like a Palo Verde?
You might be, dude. Golly, huh?
I might be crazy in that, but, you know, the mentality. I mean, I'm kind of going back and forth here. I still think, like, you know, obviously there's Gilbert Christian, there's Ironwood. But let's
mentality
talk about the
only
South
takes
for
so
a second, right? The South
mentality
the
only
3A,
takes you so far.
You what?
The mentality can only take you so far when it comes
to
like
Palo Verde has, but this is what I'm saying. You can make the argument that Ironwood, that Gilbert Christian has the talent, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, maybe they don't have enough of that, like, Cam Pippen dog mentality that Palo Verde has, right?
Now,
honestly, Gilbert Christian would be listening to this, and they'd be like, you're stupid, and that's fair. You should think that, right? I'm just thinking out loud here. Palo Verde is a little bit different, and they've been handling some business. This is a team that if they can shoot well and defend well, I mean, they would play with a similar edge to like a Santan Charter would. And I don't know. It's kind of interesting here. I'm talking about the South and giving the South some love because Safford's not bad. Sabino has a bunch of transfers that are now eligible. Push just beat Ironwood. You have Palo Verde. Empire's improved. Tankaverde. You know what I mean? Like, there's just a lot of teams there. So I think we're going to have a team from the South that maybe gives a run for some money. I'm thinking out loud. Now that I'm like actually thinking about what I said, Valley Christian would probably take care of them. But Palo Verde would be listening to that, and they'd be like, nah, you're crazy. We got him. You know, we got him.
Coach Smith's
going to
message us on Twitter. Set it up.
I know. I love it, bro. It's crazy. So we wanted to talk about that game because Gilbert versus Valley is always a great matchup there. And we got to end this segment of recapping games by talking about, honestly, the most exciting game of the entire week, in our opinion. Valley Lutheran versus Cicero Prep, bro.
Yes, sir, dude.
This game was out of this world, and I've got to give a huge shout-out to Coach White. Coach White, you freaking coached your butt off in this game, man. Watching you, you made great calls, great timely plays. Your kids stayed the course, man. They worked so hard, and, I mean, everything just worked. Fouled the right kids. It was great. So I was super impressed with how Coach White – this wasn't just like, they threw up a half-court shot and they won. There was a lot that kind of built up to them even having an opportunity to do this. Valley Lutheran beat Cicero Prep 46-45 on a half-court buzzer beater. This is a great game. Down the stretch, I really thought that Cicero Prep was going to pull away. Cicero Prep pulls away by like maybe 6 points with like 3 minutes left, maybe 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So it's kind of like, all right, like it looks like they're going to kind of start to move away. And Valley Lutheran couldn't execute some things. I think it was number 5, Doyle hit some big threes, which that helped a lot. After he hit his second three, Coach White went running to the ref. And Coach White, I know you know what I'm talking about, but man, I've never seen a coach run so fast to a ref. He went from the coach's box and sprinted all the way to the other underneath the hoop to get this ref's attention and call timeout, which I thought was awesome. They ran some pressure, which got the ball with the chance to win it. They didn't really do it well out of bounds. You know, they end up turning it over. But Cicero Prep, they kept missing some free throws. And Valley Lutheran did a great job in fouling some kids that would do that. They end up getting the rebound off of a free throw, and then they shoot. I couldn't see who it was that made the shot, but they hit a shot from half court being down by 2 to win by 1, 46-45. Just an incredible game. My favorite was the coaches' reactions. I might like zoom in on the coaches' reactions because every coach had a different reaction. One of the coaches was just sitting there like dancing, you know, like doing, I don't know what he was doing, but he was dancing. Another coach ran and celebrated. Another coach is just going crazy clapping. And then Coach White just stood frozen like what just happened? You know, it was freaking awesome. So huge shout out to Valley Lutheran getting this big win over Cicero Prep. And Ray, I'm kind of eating my words because what I said was between the game of Cicero Prep and Lincoln Prep was the winner of this was going to be poised to win the 1A East. Well, Valley Lutheran's making a huge argument here, right?
They are on top of the heap for the 1A East right now.
They're 3-1 in the region, and they're at the top. So, I mean, we got to start talking about them as an opportunity to win in the 1A East. So, huge shout out to Coach White and those kids because they're playing really well. They're playing at a high level. I love it, man. It's awesome.
That is awesome. Shouts out.
Have you ever been involved in a game like that with like hitting like a half court buzzer beater or something? I never have.
When I was like in fourth grade, we played.
Oh, so I mean, like a game that counts.
Yeah, that counts, dude. What do you mean? We're playing for keeps.
What happened in fourth grade? What happened? Tell me. I want to know.
Well, me and my friends were playing on a travel team together, and we were playing in Phoenix.
Why do I feel like you're making this up as you're saying it, bro?
I swear to God, I'm not. I wish I was. We were playing this team called, they used to be called Magic. They were like an orange team.
Dude, making this up right now. This is crazy.
I swear to God, dude. And next time you see Big Day, just ask him about the Magic. They were like, it was like Powerhouse and like Team Magic at the time. Team Magic was like orange. And we never beat them, but we always met them in tournaments. And then we always like end up playing them. And we ended up beating them on a buzzer beater. It's crazy.
Dang, bro. From half court?
Yeah. In front of half court, but it still counts.
Dang. How far from half court? Was it just a three? Was it just a three-pointer?
No, dude.
I don't know if I believe you, bro. I'm serious. You don't have to. I don't know if I believe you.
Check the sources, dude.
Who else was on your team?
Day, Aaron, Nick, all my friends, bro. I swear to God, dude, we used to play together.
Man,
dude,
I swear awesome. You're making this up, dude.
I wish I was, dude. Like, I really wish I was. But no, yeah, dude, shouts out to Magic. They don't exist anymore.
They all died or what?
No, the club just kind of
stopped. Oh, I thought you meant like, you know.
Jesus. Dang.
Just meant like what, after the game or something?
Hey, I listened to you. I know this is so off topic, and we'll probably make, I don't know if we're gonna get into this in this episode or whatever, but I listened to the Viral Heap episode, dude. It's pretty awesome. And I heard you say I have some crazy ideas. And yes, you are right. One of the crazy ideas that we had talked about was doing a club team for small ball kids.
And just running
a couple tournaments, just see what happens. And not like, obviously you would do like one local one maybe, but then the rest you would just see what happens.
You know, just go to Florida, Tampa Bay, wherever, you know, all over the country.
Georgia. Georgia.
So, anyways, want to give a huge shout out to the Valley Lutheran Cicero Prep game because that was awesome and it was a super fun game to just watch and to just see how it ended. Again, Coach White did an awesome job putting his kids in positions to score and giving them a chance to win that thing, man. That's freaking great. Mm-hmm. You know what's my favorite thing, dude, is like, how many times are you in a close situation like that and you can't make it work? You know, like your kids don't have it in them, but to watch something that like actually the kids do it and you end up on top, bro, that's so great, man. That made me so happy, dude.
I feel like every coach is like, every time you drop a play and it works, I feel like every coach responds the same. They just throw their hands in and like, wow, it's crazy how easy that works.
No, when you just do what they tell you to do, it works.
It works. Crazy, right? And the kids are like, oh my God, wow. Yeah, freaking idiots, dude. But anyways, yeah, dude, shout out to the freaking Valley. That was awesome.
So we're going to end this thing off by talking about a couple players that reached the 1,000-point mark, okay? And, you know, I never reached the 1,000-point mark. Reyes.
I never did either, dude. Don't even try to say something crazy. I was like, don't even try to say. How close do you think, if you had to be completely honest, like all jokes aside, how close do you think you were to 1,000 points?
I was pretty far off. I didn't start like actually scoring until like my junior year.
Hey, bro, for everybody listening, dude, Jeff used to be a bucket back in the day, dude. He was I know we talked about this before, dude, but when he went back to Texas, probably what, about a month ago, maybe?
Hey, you know what? We don't got to talk about this again, bro. It's all good.
I'm just saying. We're not going to go into it. I'm just saying. You let everybody know.
I did, you know. It feels good to go back home and to do some good stuff against some old people that, you know, they think they're better than you and you can show them that they're not. But anyways, we're not here for that. I never reached the 1,000-point mark. Reyes, you reached the 1,000-point mark as a freshman. But, you know.
Hey, you're so. Yeah, it's crazy. I'm kind of liking this,
though. It's kind of cool, and I feel like it's picked up. But people have been writing into us saying, like, hey, so-and-so is reaching the 1,000-point mark here in the 1,000-point club, which I think is awesome. So I want to highlight that. Arte Prep, they have a kid who just reached the 1,000-point mark. They had a girl as well, I think, but it was Ryan Morad out of Arte Prep. And I'm trying to think through here about, like, what this kid is averaging. I wonder if they have it here on Max Preps.
What's his name?
But Arate Prep, I'm just going to look at them really quick. But we talked about them a little bit earlier in the podcast. But Arate Prep has done some really good things. And it's a team that you really can't sleep on. They don't have their stats on. But he did reach the 1,000-point mark, which I think is really cool. So huge shouts out to him and Arate Prep. I think whenever you have a kid
Arate
that reaches,
Prep, bro.
That's what I said.
You said Arate.
No, I said Arate.
No, you said Arate, and you're like, shouts out for 1,000 points for, you know, Ryan, whatever, at Arete Prep. It's Arate,
okay,
bro.
Whatever, it's fine. But I think whenever you have a kid that can reach that 1,000-point mark, it says a lot about the kid and the work ethic that they put in. Because you don't reach 1,000 points on accident, right? It doesn't just happen. You got to have a mindset for that. You got to really work on that. Okay, do you disagree with that? I saw you kind of put your head like that.
No, I mean, I agree with you, dude. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Another one, the biggest one that I'm really excited about is Basis Flagstaff. Okay, they got their guy Jack Engelfaller. He got his 1,000th point in the second quarter of their first game with Shonto Prep on Saturday, this past Saturday. He ended up scoring 36 points in the first game and 24 points in the second. He is 38 points away from breaking the school scoring record. He's on fire, and it's not just him. Like, we could stop and talk about that for a second. To break the scoring record at your school is freaking awesome. So I hope that this kid gets it. It looks like he for sure will. But I think that's a really
you
cool
broke
thing
your
for
scoring
him.
Record, dude.
You what?
You broke your scoring record, dude.
I didn't actually.
Oh man,
I didn't. But
then why were
cool
you telling me?
I didn't tell you that.
You don't. All right, dude.
You're crazy.
Jeffrey always trying to be the good guy, bro. Jeffrey always trying to be the humble guy, dude. Off the
I never
pod.
Told
just,
you I broke the score. What a,
hey, bro, just keep going, dude. Just keep going.
I don't even know what the score record at my school is. It's probably like 200 points or something. But really cool for him. He is a kid that can go. He can score on all three levels, and he is really the gas that makes Basis Flagstaff go. So huge shout out to him, but it's not just him. As a team, they were on fire in the first game. They listen to this. They went 18 of 38 on three-pointers. They had eight players make at least one three-pointer. So this is a team that is dangerous. I'm glad that they're finally in the top 10 as of right now, and I hope that they stay in there. Basis Flagstaff is going to continue to surprise some people, and if you got them on your schedule, you just better be ready to deal with some shooting and get out to shooters, and obviously – you got to be ready to deal with Jack Engelfeller as well. And then the last one that I want to talk about is Bobby Rodriguez. Bobby Rodriguez hit the 1,000-point mark here for North Valley as a junior, which is extremely impressive. It shows his work ethic. And I think it's really cool that he's had the success that he has, and it's been super fun to cover him and watch him as a player. But that's really what we wanted to do here. We really wanted to...
Some good news just came in.
Yeah, we can... I saw that you just sent it to me, but we love covering these players and everything, and it's super cool to get it as a junior. It shows the work ethic, and he's just going to continue to improve, and I can't wait to see him in the Arizona Small Ball Showcase in a year. It's going to be fun.
I know. For a junior, it's kind of a weird place to be a junior, right, in small ball, just because of some of the new things we're kind of adding for this event. But, yeah. I can't wait for next year when he will be senior, dude. It'll be fun.
Okay, that's all we got for today, unless Reyes, there's anything else you want to say before we get out of here.
Yeah, you did mention we were going to kind of go over a brief overview. If you haven't listened to it already, it was a bonus episode, but we did finally talk about the Viral Heap Award.
In a little bit more detail.
Yeah, a little bit more detail about who the man was, you know, the man behind the award. I love saying that. What he was able to accomplish for St. John's. During his time period, the 8 state championships, and then what kind of man he was, right? Not only on the court, but off the court. So if you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. We've been posting on the social medias and stuff like that. Yeah, it's been awesome. And we're super excited for this year to kind of just award that to the kid for, you know, who we felt best fits the criteria that we have for that award.
And I mentioned this on the previous podcast that I did about Viral Heap. If you want to know more about it, go back and listen to it. It's our last one that we posted this past Saturday. But our whole goal in doing this is we wanted to figure out how to encourage student athletes to be the best version of themselves. Mm. And this is why we did this. Like, we literally don't get anything from this. We just want to encourage you guys to think about how you treat others. Encourage you guys to think about how you treat your coaches, how you treat your teammates, how you treat the other team, right? And just if that even helps you a little bit to become a better version of yourself, then our goal is 100% accomplished. So we're super excited about it. I mentioned this on the previous podcast, but coaches, your role in this, if you have somebody who you think embodies all of those character qualities of the Viral Heap Award, you got to let us know. Be like, hey, you guys need to talk about this kid. You're not talking about him, you know, so on and so forth.
You got to let us know, man. Like I said, dude. I think other than that, that's it. Be on the lookout for some nominees, and let's just get rolling, dude. The season is in full head of swing, dude. We're approaching playoffs here pretty soon, which I can't wait for.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Arizona Small Ball Podcast, and we will catch you guys next week.